Okay, it's 5:30, and I'm gonna call the Town of Discovery Bay Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order. I'd also like to check at this moment, because this is a teleconference, and verify who's on the line so we can have the public, if they're there, attend with us. If you're on the line, could you please identify yourself?
Hi, Mike Yerwaka.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, in case Justin's on the line, but if you're on mute, Justin, just to let you know we cannot hear you.
All right, we'll go ahead and get the meeting started. Hopefully Justin will join us. Can I have a roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
All right, at this particular point of the meeting, it's time for public comments. Being that we're on a teleconference, there's no public here in the building with us. Is there anyone in the public that would like to address our committee meeting? Getting no response, I'm going to move on and close the public comments and then go to our draft minutes of our May 6th meeting. Do I hear an approval or a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion we approve them as noted.
I'll make that a second. A roll call vote, please.
Director Mayer.
Aye.
President Peace.
Aye. Motion carries. With that, we'll move on to water and wastewater update. Staff, please.
Hi, it's Gregory Harris from Engineering. I'll be with the wastewater update for items that aren't on the agenda already. So to bring you up to speed, I'd just like to give a quick update on the diffuser project. CEQA has been completed on the diffuser project. Permits have been filed, and we now have to start thinking about design. And I wanted to sort of run some ideas by the wastewater committee in terms of should we simply go with Advisi who worked on all the permitting, or should we want to go out to RFP to hire a design consultant for the design of the diffuser. So the last time when we built the diffuser, we looked long and hard and we found one company called Comex. There are people that do ocean outfalls, like, you know, big, you know, international ocean outfalls. There's just water outfalls are just not a common thing that's designed and built, so there's not a lot of firms that do it. And that company, Comex, was bought out by Running Parsons at Vizian. That's who we have been working with for this permitting phase of the project. So now we need to move on to design phase. The Vizian provided me a proposal for design. The cost was about $85,000, which was about the budget we had for design. But I wouldn't know if we want to try and go out to RFP and see if there's other engineering firms to provide a cost proposal, or if we should just negotiate a specific scope of work with that Disney. That's sort of a heads up, something to start thinking about now. If you had specific feedback, I would take that now in terms of, you know, what we bring back to the community and what we work on.
Well, my question would be, you're in this business, you've been in it for 20 plus years. That's to your knowledge, they're the only local folks that can design these things?
The design firms out of Canada, they got a person in Canada, Sacramento, you know. Oh. You know, this is not a common, underwater engineering is what it is, right?
Okay, let me ask this question then. Do we have a copy of the last diffuser design?
Oh yeah, we have a design.
Okay.
Right.
And we know kind of what's failed based on our underwater survey.
Yes.
And we have a general feeling of here's how we could make it better.
Right.
And we've submitted that to the permitting agencies, and they've given us a little advice, right?
They're still giving us advice, but haven't fully commented on it.
Okay, until we give them something.
Right.
Okay. Why can't we just modify the design that's there now? Solve the problem.
Well, the first thing is the changes that are being proposed to allow to flush better and do some other things are, I'll say, I haven't personally done that before. And as an engineer, if you qualify to do that work, I wouldn't feel qualified to do an underwater project. So I think that we have to have a qual- Parsons at Vizient, who's done all the permitting to date, obviously has experience. But we're, you know, but it's not like just a local sanitary engineering firm. You know, it's just it's a bigger company that's got a couple guys in the company that do underwater engineering, you know, kind of thing. So it's sort of, I'll say, outside of the norm in our industry, you know, and it's a specialty design, and I wouldn't be qualified to do it.
Right, and I can appreciate that. I just got to go down that path. So.
Yeah.
You said their estimate was 5,000?
85,000.
85,000.
Yes.
Well, we don't have to start from scratch.
No.
We just present what we
have.
Okay,
that wasn't just design, though. That included a host of activities, and big construction services, and some other things. I can break that out, but it included more than just design. It was the design of it and the construction services of it is what was included with that, as well as some modeling that was going to take place. I'm going to modify that scope no matter what, because I'm going to make some changes on that. But the real sort of thing was, you know, we don't have a firm policy on engineering services about whether we go out to RFP every single time. And I think that the right approach here is, we know we paid last time to build the whole thing from scratch. It was a couple hundred thousand to do that. And, you know, I think we negotiate a good scope of work. And my recommendation would be negotiate a good scope of work and review the cost with them and the board and you guys, and then get approval. I can go out to RFP. But if you recall, we went out to RFP for the master plan. We got one person. I personally knew 10 engineering firms that could do it. I personally called them, sent them a letter, did all this stuff, and we got one proposal. And it's kind of hit or miss in Discovery Bay. It's kind of a long ways out, you know, and it just kind of depends how busy everybody is. But the real thing here is, it's not a big project at all for a quote ocean engineering firm. You know what I mean? This is a very small little thing that they're doing. I can attempt to find people and go out to RFP. My feeling is we're not going to be successful finding anybody else. And that we should negotiate a price with them. But I want to get your feedback on it. And I'll go out and do my best and see what I can find.
Yeah, I think we should break it down to just, I would maybe change the word design to modify. We have a current design that's failed. We know what the failure parts were. We know what this is. So we'd like to take that drawing, modify it with the new input and their special ideas, and get a number for that.
I'll do that. But remember, you want their insurance involved, you want their bonding involved, you want, you know, the design professional.
Yeah, okay.
I'll call it a modified, but it's a design. You stamp it, an engineer stamps it, puts a spec together, it's a design. You know,
okay.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I'm puzzled that we're being asked to make a decision. We should have policies on this. It sounded like you were asking us whether we wanted to have it or go out for RFP.
Yeah, we don't have a firm policy, right? There's not a firm policy
for
engineering services.
We don't have
for engineering
firm
services,
policy.
For construction services.
Yes, no?
The answer is no. Typically with consultants, we pick consultants, and we don't have an RFP policy on that, because if you did, these are specialized individuals. Otherwise, you'd have to pick the lowest bid. It's the guy who's advertising on the bus bench.
Yes.
This is what you want to avoid.
Okay. So we're in normal practice.
Correct.
In doing this.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I don't have a problem then. I just want to make sure we don't go against the grain with a respect.
Right. I was just commenting that last time for the master plan, you guys asked me to go out and get RFPs. When I did, I went to RFP and did both. We didn't get any proposals, but we did get a firm price from Stantec, who did the master plan. So I was just bringing it up because you'd asked last time.
Good. Okay. I would like to see if you're going to come up with questions for the board, and we've got to make this, and most of this is a presentation, but that should have been part of the
agenda. We could, if you want to like give me a firm answer, then I put it on the agenda for next month. That was just more about feeling you guys up and see what you want to do. Yeah. We'll just negotiate a scope and bring it back next time on the agenda, and then we can discuss it. You know, about, do you want to go out to RP? Is this okay? Feel like we're getting a good price?
What's the I know you gave us the date before, but it's too much stuff going on up here. When do we have to have the diffuser back up and running at 100%?
So there's no regulatory date. It's just not working now. And the longer it doesn't work, the worse it can get. And at some point, we have to be able to work. How much flow we can pump from the plant right now is compromised a little bit. good enough, I'll say, you know what I'm saying? But this is more about we're trying to take care of our own future and not have something go critical on us.
So if we just look forward from today and go at our kind of the normal pace about this project, do you think we're probably a year from now, the diffuser will now be repaired?
I think the permitting is gonna take a year.
Wow.
And that we're probably starting, they're gonna put us in a window, I think, between September and November to build. So I think we're shooting for starting construction September this year. That's our plan right now.
A year from now, and
yeah.
Then
remember the Army Corps and fishing game, all get away in on this.
All right. So it's a year and a half,
so
2 year
we're,
project.
We're shooting for September, we're shooting for starting construction next September.
So about 14-15 months from now.
Yeah.
All right.
And we have no exposure to fines or any regulatory issues by just taking this on?
I think that, I'm not going to say zero exposure, but minor exposure. You know, we're proceeding along. If the worst comes to happen, we have a major failure, then we could operate on emergency mode and do something,
okay.
You know, kind of thing. But right now, it's not emergency. We've got to get the permits. We've got to go through the process.
All right.
That's the only thing I have in the wastewater up here. I don't know if there's water up here.
Has Justin joined the line?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
I don't want to go too far down the road, but is there any update you need to provide the committee with relationship to water?
That's not on the agenda.
That's not on the agenda.
No, none that are not on the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, we're going to go to discussion items. We're going to go to discussion regarding the in-fluid pump station W, how the project is advancing. Staff, please.
Okay, so last time we were authorized to go ahead and steal some money from the CIP. That was planned to be spent as part of a bigger project to pull it forward to work on the inflow pump station W. So we've started that design, and we're shooting to have 50% submittal for review to staff and Veolia end of this week. And then everyone will go on holiday, and so basically, we should be wrapped up in July to start getting bids through Veolia on that project.
And if we go down that timeline, when do you think the station would be repaired?
I think that if we start getting proposals in July, you'll probably authorize in August. There's some materials that got to be built, but I would think by the end of September we
have it finished. Okay. Okay. All right. With that, we'll go to a discussion regarding the booster pumps at the Newport treatment plant.
Justin, you want to give us the update on that?
And would you like me to? Okay, sure. Yeah, I can provide that update. So before Bernie left, one of the booster pumps at the Newport plant was failing. It wasn't producing the amount of water or the capacity that it needed. I wasn't there for the specific issues that were occurring, but I just kind of kept tabs on what's happening with the booster pump. It's been removed by Kirby's Pump and Mechanical, and they were to have provided a quote to Veolia. I haven't seen that quote myself. I've reached out to them, and I work with Kirby's Pump and Mechanical often, and they work with the town often, so there's a good close relationship there. But I'm still waiting to hear back to see what the quote was going to be for the replacement of booster pump number 3. But they did tell me before the quote was available, when I talked to them last week, that the pump is just totally worn out. The impellers are totally worn out, and there's no repair option. The whole bowl assembly needs to be replaced. And I don't have too much information on any maintenance done on those, but I did look through our records internally at LSCE, just files that we happen to have from working with the town for the duration that we've been here. And What it looks to me is that this is the original pump that was installed back in 2003. There's probably some other issues that we're going to start seeing with these if there hasn't been any maintenance done on them. They've been in service for over 17 years. So it's pretty normal where, what we're seeing. From what it sounds like from Kirby, I didn't put my eyes on it, but for a pump to have been in service that long, and these pumps are pretty much always running, so it's not surprising, I guess, that we'd be replacing it. So the thinking is now getting the quote on booster pump number 3, and then seeing what that cost is, and then deciding how to proceed on planning for replacement of the other 3 pumps. So each plant has an identical number of pumps, just so you know. There's 4 booster pumps at each plant, and there's 2 jockey pumps at each plant. So in total, 6 pumps are at each plant. And both plants were installed approximately around the same time. So we might be kind of getting into a maintenance cycle with all of the pumps at both treatment plants.
So is that if we look down the road a little bit, do we have these replacement booster pumps, any kind of number at all in our CIP?
Hold on, Julie's gonna look.
We have some placeholders, let me see if they're exactly on the pumps.
We have talked about it before, and this isn't the first time it's come up. That's for sure. I'm trying to look that up as we're talking right now.
Well, just if you look at this as a normal life, 17 years, or a good life, I should say, is a term you used, it would seem only logical that we would have some sort of a plan to have this in our budget for replacement.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Bernie mentioning that it was part of his replacement plan, in the maintenance budget that Veolia has. So I don't know if that's how that would relate to the CIP necessarily, but
we're responsible for it.
We can follow up on that and bring that to you at the next.
If
it's not, it will be, but we're suspecting it's part of the maintenance money that we.
Money we've allocated in the total Veolia package. There's a maintenance contract in there, and these pumps are probably in there.
You have 4 pumps there. Only one is now showing signs of weakness.
Well, we haven't tested the others, but there isn't any obvious signs. I guess they're still producing water, and they're not making any vibration to the extent to where an operator would raise their hand and say, hey, we're having an issue over here. I mean, the way to really know is to do a performance test on the pumps and
okay,
see how
so,
it compares
so
to
if you're saying,
control.
I go back, and maybe you didn't mean to say it the way I heard it, that this is a good life for it, and you've got 3 others in there, we should already be in there checking them somehow and having some sort of an idea of what this is going to cost in short term and long term.
We'll let Anthony.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Anthony's up here. Got something to say.
I'll take a mask off.
Yeah, it would be better for me. I
appreciate it. I'm not familiar with the maintenance prior to, and I definitely don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I have respect for all the people that were here before. The numbers that I'm looking at are the paperwork we found. This is the first time we've actually been ready to maintenance these pumps. 17 years in my experience is over the lifespan, and so we've gotten a great deal of from these pumps. To answer your question about, well, we've got one down, but we've got 3 good ones, you are correct. However, all 3 of those pumps work the same, or 4, I should say, and they're running the same water, they're running about the same time. So it's safe for us to assume that the others are pretty close, probably not identical, but they're shortly behind this one. When this was brought to my attention here recently, first question I asked was, one, is that under capital or is it under O&M? And if it is under capital, great. The problem with that is 15 years from now, when we replace session again, all at one time. We can easily take one pump out, replace it while we've got the others online. The same thing could occur with both plants. If we think these both plants were put on at the same time, that means all six or 12 pumps, I should say, are due fairly soon. Let's do one or maybe one at each plant, work on a, you know, two a month, something like that. That was kind of the questions I had, and I realized I just created homework for myself. That's okay. We'll try to get a better answer for you.
No, that's a good answer. What about the jockey pumps? Are they in the same boat?
I would venture to say so. I don't have any data that shows we've replaced those any sooner than the others, so it would be in our best interest to go ahead and look while we're doing it.
Do we have a rough idea of cost per pump?
Can you help us out on that, Justin?
No, so I don't have that quote yet from Kirby's Pump and Mechanical.
And
I'm calling to them to see what where it's at, if they've sent it, who they sent it to, or if not, when you didn't expect it.
I think if that got lost in transition between Bernie, I think he did reach out and maybe went to Bernie, and Bernie no longer has to be able to email. So we're trying to reach out to them to make sure that they've got Jerry Lemus's contact. So we'll do that. We'll get you guys a quote by next week.
Okay.
And these are all above ground pumps?
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, they're in cans, but yeah, they're basically above ground. In cans, meaning they're about 10 feet below ground instead of a steel can that's plumbed in to the piping underground.
All right, well, if it's in the O&M budget, then we have at least enough for one pump, which can take care of the one we have now, and it can give us an update on the process at our next meeting.
And I like the idea of looking to stagger some of this stuff. That's great.
Okay. With that, we're going to move on to a discussion about well 8 monitoring and the conceptual drawings. Jason?
Yeah, and I'll provide an update for you on that. So we just started the well 8 hydrogeologic investigation, which is to explore the site in the Pantages development. And this first task that we're working on, or this scope of work, is the first stage in the well 8 project to identify the suitability of the water quality and quantity of this particular site to serve as well 8, and also identify the site's suitability by laying out the footprint of the proposed facilities. So right now, the first task in this step is ultimately what this project will entail is installing a monitoring well, a test hole to get the lithology, and then converting that to a monitoring well with small wells essentially installed at different depths so we can test water quality at different aquifer units below ground as part of the investigation. So that's ultimately what we're working towards in this phase of the project. And so our first task in this is to develop conceptual plans, and we're starting to work on that now with Mike Uraka, with Aaron, and with Veolia. Our plan is to deliver a conceptual footprint of the proposed facility, showing kind of where everything will go when it's all final site, just putting in a footprint based on what we anticipate the capacity, what the target capacity is for the well, and how big the filter and the tank and the panels and everything need to be. And the purpose of that is so that we can say, well, this is where the production well would go. And based on all of that, here's a location for a test hole. Because we don't want to install a test hole on the spot that would conflict with any of the planned future facilities. So we're working on that conceptual layout right now. Plan to deliver that, hoping to get it out this week, but it might be early next week. And we'll be meeting with the project team, including Veolia, to discuss the layout. We'll finalize a conceptual layout after we discuss it, and then from there we want to go to the Division of Drinking Water, provide a letter to them about our interest in utilizing this site for the next production well, and just make sure there's no red flags from the state's perspective on pursuing this site. And once we get their concurrence, we'll feel really good about being able to proceed with the monitoring well construction. So with all of that, you know, we're hoping to get a letter out to DPW end of next week, maybe the beginning of the following week. And if we get a 2-week turnaround from DPW, we could be looking at end of July or early August with being ready to install the test hole in the monitoring well.
Okay.
So that's our status. That's where we're at.
So with all things considered, I may be really premature in asking this question, but how long would it take to get well 8 up and operational, you know, all things considered, and not a rush? Does it take a year, 2 years, 3 years?
Less than two. I would say from the time we get the monitoring well completed, from the time we're completed with this phase of the project and we have a preliminary well design, it could all be done in 18 months to 24 months, I would say, is a reasonable time frame to put for a project of this size. And things have been expedited when need to be expedited. A lot of the time frame issues we'll see in the next phase of the project will be how busy well drillers are when we want to get to the production well drilling. Because we don't want to ever put the cart before the horse, so we would always want to get the production well drilled before we produce the drawing, the design, the above ground facilities. We'd want to make sure we get the actual production well drilled, tested, water quality analysis, make sure everything still looks really good, and then go into that design phase. So then the design construction phase of the above ground itself is probably about 12 months, if not a little more. So 18 to 24 months is probably a pretty good window. You know, if we wanted to keep the project moving pretty continuously, you could potentially be drilling the production well this year. If everything looks good from the monitoring well, and you want to proceed right into that next phase. So.
If I could perhaps add just a little bit to that. This project also has a bit of a contingency with regards to the Pantages subdivision timing, because we're relying on them to do the mass grading for the entire subdivision to help build the pad up for this parcel C. We're also relying on them to bring in all of the water mains in the street that this pump station will connect to. We're relying on them to bring in the joint trench underground, electrical that's going to power the pump station. So there's other things that are going on that may be, you know, out of our control. So what Justin's saying is correct. I just want you to be aware that correctness is contingent upon how quickly Pantages project moves ahead. And we're also coordinating with them.
And history has shown that to be very slow. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But we could, you know, if we did see they were going too slow and we thought we needed to go ahead of them, we could do that. It would change the scope a little bit, but not dramatically. The other thing we're doing is we're coordinating with them on the lake fill, because we're hoping that the lake, we can negotiate with them to help pay for part of the well, give us a break on the cost of the land, if we can provide them some water to help keep their lake topped off, which has been done before. So that's something else that would work. And in fact, there's a meeting, I think, is it Monday?
Yeah, actually, well, we have a conference call with Pantages tomorrow morning to start discussing the lake fill aspect, what kind of supply they think they're going to need from the well, and how we might be able to accommodate that. So we'll start laying out those concepts, and the idea in this scope is for us to kind of capture an initial basis for that in writing in a memo that we would produce based on discussions with Pantages, so it'd be kind of the starting point for that, and establishing what that basis is for the lake fill supply. Yeah, meeting tomorrow morning, a conference call, and then on Monday, we're gonna come on the site Myself and the principal geologist are going to visit the site. Just, I mean, more about the constructability and drill rig access, and just assessing the site conditions. But the Pantages will also be there. The representatives will also be there to meet us.
Okay. Sounds like we're pretty much on track, and you've got a good process plan. With that, we're going to move on to a discussion regarding supplemental aeration.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on to that, we had an answer to the previous item on the agenda.
Yes.
In terms of how we would pay for those pumps.
Yes.
So I'll bring Julia, and that way we don't have to bring it to the next meeting.
Thank you.
Again, the $1 million question, hopefully it's not $1 million question, is the cost of the pumps. But we have budget line items in all of the CIP budgets for upgrades, maintenance, and repairs. And the one line I'm looking at, we have $350,000 in for this next year, plus we're going to have some rollover from last year because we really didn't spend much because everything got stopped. We also have emergency funds and a little extra reserves that we could use. Again, it depends on the cost of the pump and installing the pump. So we'll see
those.
So I'm sure
we have something in there.
Yes, there's not zero.
All right, thank you. Okay, so now we'll move on to supplemental aeration.
Okay, as a reminder, last month, brought to the wastewater committee a sort of an update on supplemental aeration at the treatment plant, and that the alternatives that we were investigating were costing more than what was originally planned in the master plan. We spent the last month, you know, going back and forth a little bit between Veolia and working with Dina. So I handed you a document with 3 pages. The last 2 pages are the same document I gave you last month, and I just highlighted in yellow the key data is there's a capital cost difference of $1.2 million for alternative one and $2 million for alternative two, and the master plan had a budget of $640,000. And then on the last sheet is the same list of pros and cons that we talked about last month on the last sheet. And then I've added a new sheet in the front of this where I worked with Dina and we talked about project elements that could be deleted and how might we actually pay for each of the two alternatives. And then both Herwitt and Veolia are here to make recommendations as to how we might proceed. But on the front sheet here, we see the capital cost for the two alternatives. In one case, it's $1.2 million. That's the same number as on the last sheet on page 2 in yellow. At the top of the sheet in yellow. And then on the second number, alternative two, you see $2.05 million, and that's the same number as is on the second sheet in yellow for alternative two. So that's your capital cost difference. There is already a budget in the CIP, 6705 and 718, of $640,000 that was identified in the master plan to pay for supplemental aeration. And as we discussed last time, when we did the air oxygen study in February, we found that the oxygen deficit was much higher, and essentially more equipment and more process has to go in to put the oxygen in that we need based on the testing we did in February. We've gone through and decided that we can delete the launder covers at plant number one because the firefighters are not going to be used all the time, and that would save the project $88,000. There is a current contingency of $875,000 right now in the project. And we propose taking $200,000 out of that contingency to help pay for this overage. And then unique to alternative two, there is a cost to rehab the rotors at plant one already in the master plan that was in the CIP for $480,000. So if we replace the rotors, which is what alternative two is, actually just to summarize, alternative two is replacing all the rotors we got with bigger, better rotors. Alternative one is keep all the existing rotors and then add air diffusers and blowers to blow air into the water. So under alternative two, in the master plan, we had identified $480,000 to replace the rotors at plant one, rehab and replace the rotors. Those are the original rotors, and they're 4 years old. And so if we do alternative one, and we move back and redo the analysis, we recognize we still have to fix that money to fix the existing rotors, and then we have to put the air in, and then we have to do this stuff. So that money doesn't go away. But if we pick alternative two, that 480 can be applied toward the project because that was to replace the rotors, which repair the rotors. So what we come up with then is a deficit of $279,000 for alternative one, and alternative two would be $644,000, and that deficit would have to be paid for either through reserves or additional financing. In talking with Dina, she feels comfortable we could do it either way, as in we have the capacity to, we could add that on to financing, or we have the reserves if we choose to do it in the reserves, or even some ratio, depending on how it goes. So Dina felt, I reviewed this with Dina yesterday, she couldn't be here today, but I went over this spreadsheet with her yesterday, and we felt comfortable with these numbers are laying out now. But what that would mean is essentially the cost increase over the current project budget that needs to be made up somehow through reserves or additional financing is $279,000 or $644,000, depending on which alternative goes through. And that's the difference between the two alternatives of $365,000. So it's sort of the net hit to upgrade, if you would, to alternative one to alternative two is $365,000. Okay. Regardless, we're going to have to hit the first a little bit to pay for either alternative, you know, in terms of how that goes. So in discussing alternatives, and we can bring Violet up here to comment on this as well, we've been having meetings with Violet about the operational differences, some of which are summarized on the last page we talked about last month. And some of those operational differences include how do we maintain the diffusers when the dish is dry? How do we maintain the diffusers when there's, you know, potential for rags and grit, things like that? And then we have blowers that cost a little bit extra to maintain, things like that. The best option is option two, because it essentially keeps what you have now. It's going to be easiest to maintain and easiest to operate. Option one is possible, but more difficult to operate. After going through all the alternatives with Violet back and forth and discussing with them, and finishing up our final cost analysis of actually how we'll be paid for each one of these things, Kerwin is recommending alternative two, which is installing rotors. And I think I'll speak for Violet, but they're right here to speak for themselves. Violet would recommend alternative two also. If there was a dire need, absolutely, we can't afford this money, we have to do something else, then we can consider alternative one. But the issue was going to be there are some downsides to alternative one. One of them at plant one specifically is there's going to be more noise than there is now, you know, and how that impacts the neighbors is not known at this moment. Some people have problems with noise, some people don't, you know, kind of thing. And so there's some downsides to one that make it especially problematic at plant one. The other big downside is when we do maintenance on the oxidation ditches, diffusers can't just sit out in the air. They'll get ruined by the sun, and they have to be maintained, either taken off or maintained in water or things like that. And those become more problematic issues for plant one, which is not in service all the time. So Violet doesn't think diffusers are really practical at plant one, that no matter what, you put rotors in at plant one. And we would concur with that. And then I think it'd be even more impractical to have one system in one plant and a different system at the other two plants. And then given the cost difference between the two, for the amount of money you're spending on this process at the end of the day, we think it's prudent to go ahead and proceed with alternative two, and that's the new rotors at all three oxidation ditches. And you'll like to comment if you have anything different to say.
Definitely one of them guys that would prefer the cheaper route if we can save it.
Yeah, I can hear you.
But in this case, what we're not looking at is
do have Mike Durock on the line if you have any.
Mike, do you have anything extra to add to that?
No. No, I don't.
You're in favor of alternative two also, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, the hybrid would be to, I think it was mentioned, to do the new mixers over at the plant one. As Greg mentioned, you already got the budget towards that, and they're quieter, which is great. And then perhaps do the blowers to save a little money at plant two, but that would be the only other consideration.
All right. Well, the thing that I and all the board members look at is money. That's our main driving focus. My ears perked up when it was brought up that we have two alternatives to finance this overage. One is finance it, and the other is pay for reserves. My preference probably at this point would be to go ahead and put it in and finance it so that we maintain our reserves for other things that come up that just, you never know they come up. So that would be, I think I would go along with the engineers and look at alternative number two and look at a financing package to make it happen.
But part of your comment with dealing with Dina is that we can do it without financing.
We can do it either way. And she was like, let's see the flexibility.
I would prefer not to commit to that yet. Dina and I have not done all the research on that.
Okay, so we've got more
to do. We're going to have to go and look through the reserves and through the money.
Okay. I just hesitate getting in any more financing, so I understand.
Yeah.
I don't think we're making that decision.
So
No, we're not making that tonight.
So as one who voted for not continuing with Plant 1 because we don't know what's there, this is the first one that I've seen that throws a little twist into it to make us think. The biggest concern I have, and it's not about the money right now, the biggest concern I have is the noise. And I know what air can do when you're pumping air into it, and you're going to get lots of complaints because they've gone from no noise to a lot of noise. And maybe they get used to it over the years, but I'm not sure even that's going to happen. So that's a big factor in the decision here.
So I'd like to comment slightly. In our review for the last month of these two alternatives, Veolia has highlighted some other ways that maybe we can save money on plant one. And just as part of this, you know, what can we do here? How can we pay for it? What can we trade off? Kind of discussions we've been having. They've highlighted some things that may pan out or may not pan out, but we are working on sort of a new task that wasn't there before, which is sort of picking up some concepts from Veolia and seeing if maybe there's some ways there to save some money. Some of them are really big, like don't do plant one. Some of them are not that big, but we're going to work with Veolia over the next couple of months to hash through those things so everybody's comfortable that we're spending the money wisely. And they have the same concern about plant one. It's like, how much do we want to keep putting money into plant one versus other things? So it's sort of unrelated to this topic of aeration, because we're adding budget here. People have kind of like, is there a place to save money somewhere else? And we are doing
it. In plant one, the concern I have is we haven't even really opened that thing up yet, so.
It's been a while. Yeah,
I mean, once we open it, we're going to see how bad it is or how good it is. So that could be a concern. So when you perk my ears up when you said,
so
maybe not even do plan one.
Yeah. So in terms of process, we're going to proceed with alternative two in the design. But the next couple of months, we're going to work hard with Veolia on their concepts and flesh those out. And if something material pops up, we'll come back and talk to you guys about it.
Okay, so we actually have to bring it back to the board for the decision on number two, with that committee's recommendation.
Okay.
That we go to number two.
I just a matter of process. At the design level, I don't think we've ever taken step to four before. But is it more about we're just going to increase the budget? Is that what we're thinking about before, that we're going to have to increase the budget?
Well, you just provided an option to the committee. The committee cannot make a decision. The committee can make a recommendation. The board must make the decision.
Okay.
So that's where we're at.
All right. So
when is this being We can get a couple, there's a couple of details we can get out of it for finances. You have to, where's the extra money, whether it needs to be financed or whether we have it.
Well, we could, we'll advise the rest of the board members even with our report.
Sure, but that would
so
be
they'll come up to speed, and it will be our recommendation that we use alternative two. It will be formally presented to them at the next board.
At the next board meeting, so you would write the staff report.
For 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. The decision of how to pay for it can be pushed down the line.
Okay.
But this is going
to
be
to
focusing
get the
on the
design process going. Yeah.
So when it's presented to the board next meeting, not tonight.
Yeah.
Correct.
It doesn't necessarily have to have a decision on the finance.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
It's whether you go option one or two. But I would think that they fit together with you, that it's hard to make a decision on two until you understand the finance.
Well, it's part of a bigger package, because the board has not really made a decision yet on how much they want to finance in relation to the whole denitrification project. And this is a subset of that. So when they look at what the total, and even maybe we might find some other things. So we're kind of waiting till we have to make the decision on which way we want to go in the financing in order to determine how much of that we want to finance and how much exposure of the reserves do we want to put towards what we think the project costs will be. We need to move, so that's a, it's a separate thinking process based on what the total numbers of the project will be.
Yeah, the total financing number, dollar amount hasn't said.
Sure. I'll hang on.
Hey, Mike, could I just provide a bit of information on that? It's been my experience that typically the board won't even make that decision that Mike Davies is talking about until you actually open the bid. So you see all the numbers, and at that same meeting, the board can make the decision as to how much to finance.
Yeah, so I talked to Dina about that practice. Last time, we bonded ahead of time because we had a whole bunch of projects. So there wasn't like one project we waited on one bid. We had like six or seven projects that we did last time, some of them water, some wastewater. So you went out and just bonded $13.5 million or $15 million, you know. And then the projects lined in, and basically, most of the part, we were on budget. Bit over, but basically you hit the funding that you guys had. In fact, at the end, you had some bonding money left over to pay off on interest on. This time around, so much of it is hanging on one project. I did bring up with Dina that you might consider waiting until you get the bids in before you finish your bonding process, and then you know the exact dollar amount that you actually have to go for this project. This is strategy, and sometimes when there's one big project that dominates, sometimes you do it. Just not.
All right, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
And then specifically for tonight, if you get do I need to be there for tonight? We're not on the agenda, so it's part of your update?
Yeah, we give a committee update to the rest of the board.
All right, so
it's our concurrence.
Okay, so get on that, and do you be here, or we're all going to put the process
there? I don't think you need to be there.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not.
And we'll prepare agenda for
yes.
2 weeks.
And I think, you know, looking at this, you guys have all, you know, both you, Gregory, and Violi have done a great job at planning and making sure maintenance is good. But I get this little tickle in me that, you know, I feel like I have to scratch, and that is, we got four pumps up there that all of a sudden we're looking at this. Do we have any other situations like that that we should be looking at the life of the product and making sure it's in the plan? You know, don't just limit yourself to this. Let's make sure, because we're in the midst of a transition, you know, Bernie leaving.
All right. With that, that concludes the agendized discussion items. Do we have any future agenda items you can think of?
I think they've been coming up with enough for every single week.
Okay. All right. Now, I just want to do one final check out in the teleconference area, out in the zone, if you will. Is there any general public out there that has any comment for us? I'm just, as a courtesy, I don't have to do this, but I just want to, if you took the time, I want to give you an opportunity to discuss anything that was not discussed. Hearing none.
And before we close the meeting, I would
yes.
like to introduce publicly
yeah.
Jerry, who is the going to be our new Bernie
okay.
For Violi, and if he could just say a couple words.
Sure.
Say a few words to the board tonight as
Yes,
go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Jerry Limas, and I'm going to keep it very short. I have been getting a great welcome, and I hope I can fill up your expectations.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Well, you've got some big shoes, and I mean literally are big.
Well, you know what? Somebody said that to me, and I said, are you talking because he was really big shoes and a tall guy, or what? You know,
both.
But, yeah, I know it is both ways. I understand he had a lot of experience, a lot of history. He was an asset, and I think that I can become an asset as well.
And it was like a neighbor. He was really good. Where from? Town-wise.
Town-wise? I'm coming from Delaware. So I'm coming from all the way to the East Coast, all the way
yes.
here. But originally from California. My mom, my dad, my sister, they're all in Northridge and Ponca.
Good.
Well,
welcome.
Yeah,
welcome.
Thanks, sir.
Welcome
appreciate
aboard.
Thank you. Appreciate
yes.
it. Thank
right.
you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and with that, at 6:22, we'll adjourn the wastewater committee meeting.